welcome everybody, especially those who are online. We welcome you. Hi. Pastor Michael and Ann are gone this week. Their son got married yesterday, and so they are in California. The wedding was on the beach, and so that ought to be fun. And so we miss you, Pastor Michael and Ann. I know he said he was going to be watching today, so hi. Everybody turn around and say hi. All right. it's good to be together around God's word. And so if you have your Bibles, would you please open them to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm 23. And we as a church are in a series called The Power of One. The Power of One, where we are looking at one chapter a day. And from one chapter a day, we are looking for one verse out of that chapter that will speak to our hearts. And so the book that we chose to go through this summer is the book of Psalms. Psalms is an amazing, amazing book. And the nice thing about it is the chapters are really not that long. They're really kind of short chapters. And so what that enables us to do is just to kind of soak it in and dive into it and allow God's word to speak into our hearts. I am a fan of God's word. And I know when we read and apply God's word into our lives, it's God speaking to us. Just think of that. God speaking to us through the Bible. That is just an amazing thought to even think about. God talking to me. And he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, how many lack wisdom? On a moment-by-moment basis. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of him, and he gives it. That's in the Word of God. And so we get to read that. We get to see that. We can stand on the promises of God and applying the promises of God into our lives. And so I say this all the time, is that we need to be a people that reads God's Word and apply God's Word into our lives and allow the Spirit of God, to allow the Spirit of God to penetrate our hearts and our lives and transform us. I mean, you could read for just reading's sake, but it's the Spirit of God in the Word of God that speaks to our hearts. And so I just encourage you to read God's Word on a daily basis. So today, I want to look at a psalm that we read, I mean, a while ago, Psalm 23. How many, are you familiar with Psalm 23? Just curious. Yeah, it's a familiar psalm. Most of you probably can quote it by heart, but Psalm 23, as I begin to pray about what to share today, the Lord led me to this psalm. Even though we read it a few weeks ago, the Lord led me to this psalm, and because the psalm, it just speaks to what we are facing today, I believe. And so Let's read it together. Let's stand and read, if you can. Stand and read Psalm 23. And if you know it by heart, you don't even need the Bible. But it'll be up on the screen. It says this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen? Amen, amen. You may be seated. What this passage of Scripture, one that we are all familiar with, the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, the Good Shepherd. And we're all familiar about with this, that God is good. Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, God is good. He is a good God. And look at all the things that points to the shepherd, because the shepherd here, who is God, is the hero of the story. You're not. You're the sheep in the story. I'm the sheep in the story. And sheep tend to wander. Sheep tend to get lost. Sheep tend to get hurt. Sheep tend to fall. Sheep are dumb. And where's the sheep? Aren't you glad you came today to church to hear that you're a sheep and sheep are dumb? But if you look at the world today, you see it. We're dumb. But look at the hero of the story. It's God. Look at what he does. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness. He is with me. His rod and staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me. He anoints my head with oil. He gives goodness and mercy. All this psalm is all about the goodness of God. All that he does, he is the restorer, he is the comforter, he is the goodness, he is the mercy. Let's be encouraged today that God is good. God is good. You may be in the midst of a trial today, but God is still good. You may be facing hardships today, but God is still good. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the circumstance that you are facing, God is good. And listen, I want you to hear this. This does not mean what is happening is good. But what it is saying is God is good no matter what is happening. And we can read from God's word, from Romans chapter 8. It's one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. Romans chapter 8, God can take trials. God can take hardships. God can take difficulties that happen in our lives for those who are loved by God, and he can transform them for the good. God is good. In the midst of your hardship, God is still there. He loves you, and he is good. One of the demonstrations of how great and awesome and good God is that God sent his one and only Son to the cross to take your sins and take my sins so that we can have a relationship with him. So when you're in the midst of your trial, when you're in the midst of your difficult circumstances, think of the cross of what a good God did for you. And if he did that for you, he can be with you in your circumstance. He could be with you in your trial. He could be with you no matter what you're facing. God is amazing, and he is so good. There was this saying that we used to say all the time. If you've been in churches, you would say it, and it was kind of this echo thing. It says, God is good all the time. And all the time?
God is good.
Yeah. Let's say it again. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Amen. Amen. God is good in the midst of our troubles. He is with me. In the midst of my failures, he doesn't stop loving me. He is still good. Even if you don't believe in God, he's still good to you.
Yes.
The very idea that we all live in the good grace of God, all of us. All of us live in the good grace of God, his favor, regardless if you believe in him or not, he still loves you. And so this psalm of David, he is shouting, I believe, that the Lord is a good shepherd. And David understood that. He was a shepherd. And so he refers to God as this shepherd, and he knew what it meant. David knew what it meant to lead sheep. He knew what it meant to take care of the sheep. He knew what it meant. And so he is describing in his own terms, oh, God is the good shepherd. So he recognizes that God is good. And so through this passage, we see all the good things that God does. He's the hero of the story. But there are three responses that we have to the good shepherd. And I want to look at those three responses today. So here are the responses. Number one, if you're taking notes, I shall not want. That's response number one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This past year, I bought a new car. It wasn't a new car. It was new to me. It was a 2014 car. And I spent some time researching and looking for a car. KSL, you got all the cars there, and then I got Consumer Reports, and I'm doing all this research to find a car. I didn't want a car. I wanted a truck. But the truck I was wanting was not matching up to the bank account that I was having. You ever have that problem? And so my wants and my, didn't match up. And so I bought this car. I bought a 2014 Hyundai Santa Fe. It's a nice car. It's nice. It's kind of cool because you could tune your, I never had a car like this where you could put your phone to it and you play your music off your phone. How many have cars like that? Dude, that is a cool feature. Sell your car right now and get one that has that. I mean, it's just, it's a cool feature where you get, and then somebody calls like, hello. I'm weird. But so it's nice, and it's good to ask my, I'm like, okay, I like my car, I like this. And then just this past Friday, I had this meeting down in Ogden, so I'm driving, and I see this Hyundai Santa Fe, exact model, color, and everything is mine. Yeah, I mean, it was a mirror of mine. It's like, huh. So I'm curious as who's driving it. So I drive up and I come up and it's like a grandma. and nothing wrong with grandmas at all. I love you, grandma. I love you, grandma. Nothing wrong with grandmas, but grandma's driving my car. And it made me a little bit sad there. I was a little bit like, huh, I got a grandma car. And that's okay. I got a car, but it's not what I wanted. I wanted a truck. I wanted a truck where I could haul things. I wanted a truck, but I didn't want any of my friends to know that I had a truck. You ever been there? Because if your friends know that you have a truck, they're going to call and borrow your truck or ask you to move. One of those things. But I wanted a truck, haul things. A truck makes you more manly. That's why I grew a beard to make me look more manly. Those kind of things. And so I have insecurities. That's all right. So I wanted a truck, but I'm still looking for a truck. I could sell this and then buy a truck. So if you know a good deal, just let me know. So this verse says, "I shall not want." That does not mean that because I want a truck that God is going to magically, boom, I'm going to go home and find a truck in my driveway. I think people often look at God in that sense. That God, this is what I want, and therefore this is what you're going to give me. And we automatically think in our minds to material blessings. God, give me a truck. God, give me a house. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, give me this. Give me that. Give me that. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong to ask God for things. I think we do that all the time. And I think that's okay. But that's not where the fulfillment comes in. You or I, in receiving blessings from God, material blessings from God, is not where I find my deepest heart's desire met. Because I can buy a truck and then go down the road and I see, man, that truck is a lot nicer than mine. And I wish I had that truck because it just doesn't fulfill. It doesn't meet the very need of my heart. And so if I have a good shepherd, a good God, and it says the Lord God is my shepherd. If I have him, I shall not want, because what he does is it says this, he leads me besides green pastures. I lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. These are the essentials in my life. God gives me the essentials of what a good shepherd. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 33. If you have your Diary Bibles, it'll be up here. Listen to what, this is Jesus talking. He says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." How many have been anxious lately? I have. He says, "Do not be anxious about your life. what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing or mask? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Get that. Seek first the good shepherd. Seek first God. And then all these other things will be added unto you. And so Jesus is saying, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about these things. He takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of the grass. He will provide for your needs. And I want you to see something here, is because this is key. He leads, in Psalm 23, going back to Psalm 23, he leads me to green pastures. He leads me to still waters. The green pastures, the still waters, is himself. What the good shepherd is drawing us to is a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. This is the key thing, that he is the good shepherd, that he leads us to himself. And only in Jesus Christ will we have that fulfillment. Only in Jesus Christ will I not have wants. In Jesus, in this good shepherd, in God, will I be totally, completely satisfied when I trust in him. That's the purpose of the cross. What Jesus did for us is to complete the work that we come into a relationship with him. Number two, I will fear no evil. First one is, I shall not want. Second one is, I will fear no evil. In verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Man, I got to tell you, and you know this, we are living in an evil, evil, evil world. If you just look around, there's evil around us. You turn on the TV, there's evil around us. You pull up YouTube videos, there's evil around us. You pull up Facebook stuff, there's evil in this world. And it can be troubling, and it can be scary. Anybody want to go to Portland for vacation right now? Or Chicago, or even New York? I mean, there's evil in this world. And this is what I want us to get, because this is a key thing with responding to the evil in this world, okay? I want you to get this, because what we tend to do is we tend to respond with comments. We tend to bash people. If there's somebody from a different point of view politically, if there's somebody from a different point of view on an issue or another thing, is we tend to respond that way. We tend to, like, well, we're mighty with our texting. But face to face, we probably would never say such things. But boy, do we have boldness around behind that computer screen or on our phone. We are bold. But here's what I want you to get, what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against cosmic power over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. I want you to remember, when you're watching YouTube, when you're watching these things, the fight is in a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual battle, and therefore it must be fought in a spiritual way. Remember that. We are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against people who are made in the image of God. Jesus died for them just as much as he died for you. They may be jerks, but we're not. Our fight is not against them. It's against Satan. We're fighting a spiritual battle. So going back to Scripture and our response to that, how do we not fear evil, especially when evil is all around us? How do we not fear evil? Davis gives us insight. He says this, he is with us. He says his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And I could spend a whole sermon on what is the rod and what is the staff and all of that. But what I want to focus in on is this verse right here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. As I begin to think about that verse, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why would a good shepherd do that? What's the significance of that? And so back in that culture, preparing a table and a banquet was a big thing. It was a huge thing. In fact, I'll read you one. If you have your Bibles, Genesis 18. I know this is 8 verses, but it's good. Look at, this is when the Lord comes to Abraham. And Abraham recognizes that he is God. Look at what Abraham does. And the Lord appeared to him by the oak of Mamre. As he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and says, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. While I bring a morsel, I don't know how much a morsel is, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves and after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you have said. So these three appear to Abraham. Abraham recognizes him as the Lord. And he says, all right, hey. Let me get some water. Let me wash your feet. And let me get you a morsel of bread. So here we go. In verse 6, and Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three sayas. You know how much a seah is? I found out. It's 15 to 22 quarts of flour. I'm not a baker, but that seems like a lot of flour. 15 to 22 quarts of flour. A fine flour. Knead it and make cakes. And then Abraham, he ran to their herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man and prepared it quickly. So he got some cakes there. This would be the equivalent to Chili's chips and salsa. You know, cakes there. Then he goes out into the herd and says, find a tender little calf there. Let's prepare that. This is not going to Chick-fil-A, folks. This is not, hey, let's order some Domino's and have it delivered. I mean, he is preparing a meal. Then he took some curds, which was probably cottage cheese. I don't know why he would do that. And he took some curds and milk and the calf, and he had it prepared for them, and he stood by under the tree while they ate. So what I want you to get here is the banquet. It's a banquet that he's preparing for him. Some cakes, some beef, some cottage cheese, some milk. This is what he is preparing for God. So this was a natural kind of response when visitors would come, when people would come. You would prepare a meal for them. Now, going back to God preparing a feast, a banquet, a table in front of our enemies, that God is a great and awesome God. You think Abraham, what he was preparing was good? That looked good. I want my medium rare, please. You know, that looked good. But that was Abraham in the midst of our hurry up, let's fix something, get something together and prepare for us. God, who created the heavens and the earth, is preparing a meal for us in front of our enemies. And so what I want you to get here is this picture of what David's saying. In the presence of your enemies, God is providing for you. God is providing for you. He is taking care of you. In a society that we live in that is full of evil, God is preparing a table, a feast to meet your needs. It goes back to the truth that the Lord is good And he does good. The Lord is doing that. He's preparing a feast. He's preparing my needs. My needs are being met in the middle of evil. My needs are being left. The Lord is good. In this life, we will have trouble. Absolutely. Jesus even said it. You're going to have trouble. We will struggle. We will have evil around us. But this does not keep us from the abundance that the Lord has for us. Abundance. Abundant life that he's giving us. And here's what I want you to get. Here's the main thing. Here's what I want you to get. Just as he leads us to the pastures, he leads us to still waters, who's himself. The table, the abundance is him. He meets all my needs. He is the fulfillment. Jesus meets my needs. He is the table prepared before me. He is it. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who meets my needs. And number three is this, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. You may say, oh, Pastor Dang, I get what you're saying. That's how you guys talk. I have no worries. I don't fear evil. But it's hard, right? It's hard. I get what you're saying, but it's hard. It's hard to live in the society that we're living. It's hard to do the things and totally, totally trust in Jesus. It's hard. Because we have anxieties. Because we have stresses. Because we have fears. But I have to ask you this. Where are you dwelling? What is leading that fear? What is feeding that anxiety? What is feeding that stress? Where are you dwelling? Are you dwelling on Fox News? Are you dwelling on CNN? Are you dwelling on some other network? Of course you're going to be caught up in fear. Because that's what they're feeding. If you're dwelling on Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, but you didn't know I knew that, you are going to be caught up with the fears of this world, the stresses of this world. Where are you dwelling? David says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. There's something about dwelling in the house of the Lord, being in the presence of God. Amen. Being in the presence of God. That is what David is referring to, about being in the presence of God. I want to be with him. I want to experience his presence. I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Last week, I was on vacation, and I missed Sunday service. Don't take a panel and fire me or anything like that. I did watch it on YouTube Sunday night, and it was an amazing. Pastor Michael did an amazing job, but there's something about being in the presence of God. Amen. There's something about it. I realize we're in unique times. I get it. I look around the room and we have a somewhat full house here, and that's great. But I miss pre-COVID days as a pastor. I miss that. I miss seeing everybody. I miss interacting with everybody. And I want you to know, online, I love you people. I love you. When I was watching online, I was like, I could get used to this. This is kind of nice. I love it. But I'm going to talk to the camera, whichever camera's on. I love you guys, but here's what I want you to know, is if you're watching online, be in the presence. Yeah. Don't be out with your phone walking your dog, watching TV or watching online. Don't do that. Don't be distracted by other things that can easily distract us. And I get it. Every single day when I drive to work, every single day I download a podcast of a sermon of somebody preaching. And I listen to that podcast as I'm going to work. I get that. But there's something about church being in the presence. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be here, but when you're there, wherever you're at in your home, wherever you're at, stop and be in the presence. Get focused in and say, oh God, let me hear the word of God. Don't let it just be background noise. But be in the presence of God. And I just want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you just to, oh, I just want to, I'm here with my Bible open. I got my coffee here. I'm sitting on the couch. But I am in the presence of God. Oh, that I may dwell in the presence of God. And then here at the church, be in the presence of God. I mean, just because you're here at church and not at home doesn't give you an ups. You're just in a different location. But be in the presence of God. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by noise or things around you. Be in the presence of God. Oh, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That I may dwell with Him. I love this song. It's called Nothing Else. It's by Cody Barnes. You may have heard the song. Here's what the lyrics say. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment, and I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. There's something about putting my focus upon the God of the universe, being in His presence. It's easy to dwell on other circumstances. It's easy to dwell on life and issues and all kinds of things. Believe me, I know. But we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking Jesus. The good shepherd is this. He is the one. Jesus is the one that leads me beside still waters. He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to Himself. Jesus is the one that is the banquet. He's the feast. I take Him in. Jesus, that I may be caught up in your presence. When my eyes are focused on the one who is sovereign over all, then I can trust in Him. I could trust in Jesus. So where are you dwelling? I'm going to have you guys come on up, the worship team come on up. Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling? Where's your attention? Where's your focus? Is my lens of this world through the lens of media? Is my lens through social stuff? Or is my lens through the Good Shepherd? A Father, a Savior, a Lord, a friend. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness. He is with me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me. He anoints my head with oil. All His goodness and mercies shall follow me all the days of my life. And I choose to dwell. I choose to dwell with Him. Are you dwelling with the Lord? Are you dwelling in the presence of God? Not just on Sunday mornings for an hour, but in every moment of your life, seek first the kingdom of God. Every moment. Not just Sundays between 10 and 11. Every single day. Seek God, I wake up and you're on my heart. My focus is on you. I choose to see this world, see my circumstances, see this work that I'm going through your lens. May I be caught up in the presence of God. May I be caught up in Him. Oh, would you stand with me, please? I'm going to just close our time in prayer. And if in this time, if you haven't been focusing in on the God of this universe, if your attention has been turned to other things and focus in on those things, would you just say, Lord, I ask that you forgive me of that. And that I turn my eyes, I turn my attention towards you. the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who's in control. I trust in you. And if you haven't made a decision to put Jesus as the Lord of your life, today's that day to say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. I want to receive you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't want to leave this place today without knowing you. I need a relationship with you. He is the one who gives us peace, strength, guidance. Would you today make a decision to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? So would you just pray with me right now? Father, thank you that you are the author. You are the sustainer. You are the sovereign king of this universe. You fulfill my wants because it's fulfilled in you. You eliminate fears because I trust in you. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies because it's you. You give me goodness and mercy because you are with me all the days of my life. Lord, Jesus, I put my faith and trust in you. May I turn towards you. May I dwell in your presence. May I seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. May I seek you, Jesus. And as I do, we read in Philippians 4 that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guide, or also uses that word guard, my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May that come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close.